We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're going to follow me on Twitter. And it's Tuesday, March 5th. You know what we do on Tuesdays? We bring in Tim Buell, Tuesdays with Tim. Talk about the big nine-game NHL slate tonight. There's also an NBA slate, so tune in later today. Grinders Live, crunch time here on the channel. So hit that thumbs up button. Give me those thummy thumbs in the morning. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. Tim, I've been gone for a couple of days out in North Carolina. Looking at the NHL slate tonight, I don't think there's anything that I've missed necessarily. I mean, I'm looking at kind of like the lines, any injuries, anything like that. I'm obviously in the Roto Grinders Discord NHL channel, the best place to go for your NHL news. My first inclination when I made my dummy lineup last night was to play a bunch of Penguins, to me, it's the Penguins, Predators, then I guess the Stars.
Yeah. So the very first optimal that I ran 100 optimals before we hopped on, and I got to six Penguins on that team. So that shows how much our optimizer likes the Penguins tonight against Columbus. I think the Penguins are going to be the most popular team on the slate, but there are quite a few really, really strong options for the slate. So it's not like they are by no means a must play, but they are really cheap. So they're going to be a staple in, you know, maybe cash games. You should probably get some exposure to them in single entry type tournaments because, you know, certain guys I think are really, really cheap and they are in a really good spot, but I don't know if you need to be playing six of them.
Well, so. I mean, the one that stands out the most just projection wise is Ricard Raquel.
Yeah.
I'm assuming I'm pronouncing his name right. People make fun of me on YouTube, Tim.
No, you're right. It's Ricard Raquel. Yep.
Right. But 4,800, he has a 12 point projection. Yep. I mean, as a one-off, I mean, the thing is that the way the Penguins spread out their lines, like, you know, you've got guys like Pustinen and O'Connor who have no power play time, but they still correlate with players on their own line. You obviously have Lars Eller in line three who has mostly the power play value. And then you have two good defensemen with Carlson and Letang offensive-wise.
Yeah, Pustinen does get power play one time.
Actually. Okay, so okay, he will
just
be
so just so we're clear. But I mean, okay. You know, no big deal. But I mean, Houston does play on the top power play line. Yeah, you're absolutely right, though. Ricard Raquel is the kind of like the standout points per dollar play on that team. I would also say that Erik Karlsson is far too cheap. He's going to be a very, very popular defenseman. You know, he's going to play a ton of minutes at even strength and on the power play. So. Karlsson and Raquel, those guys are going to be pretty heavily owned, I would imagine, on the slate. You know, and this is, we can't ignore how good of a spot this is. I mean, Columbus is just dreadful defensively. And they're playing on a back-to-back. There's a lot of back-to-backs tonight. It's pretty rare to see this many back-to-backs on a slate this size. I mean, I think there's seven back-to-backs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 back-to-backs. So, yeah, I mean, there's quite a few teams that are on a back-to-back, Columbus being one of them. Pittsburgh has the highest implied total on the slate. So, I mean, it's a great spot for them, but they are going to be chalky.
Especially with there's really not a standout top-end option on the slate. I mean, we'll get into... I think the more expensive players, the 9K up guys, are not going to be as owned as they would normally be on a slate like this. Yeah. Let me just sort by and take out the goalkeepers. Because you got Connor McDavid there, you get David Pastrnak, you get Jack Hughes. Now their teams are not going to be chalky, so like I don't see as many people playing the Edmonton Boston game. Jack Hughes may be a little bit more popular. I think there's more combinations with the Devils that you could play today, but I don't think they'll be that popular. So I'm never a huge, like, to me, Sidney Crosby at 8K. I always viewed Sidney Crosby in NHL DFS as a guy that I feel comfortable playing, but it's hard for me to envision so many 35 plus points. Fantasy point types of games.
Right.
The lineup today with Pittsburgh being as chalky as they are, what are your thoughts about like playing the other guys that are on the power play? Because you know my number one concern when it comes with correlation in NHL is that I don't want to play guys that as a one-off where his line mate almost always gets there if they get there. So, like, if I'm playing Ricard Raquel as a one-off, at 4,800, obviously, you know, if he scores 20 points, it doesn't matter what Crosby scores. But with Crosby being 8K, it's hard to build lineups, even if you want to get mega chalky, to build Crosby-Forsberg lineups.
Right.
Which one are you more likely to prioritize? Like, my natural inclination... From a median fantasy point standpoint, is to play Karlsson, play Raquel, and maybe that's it. Or even possibly being a little bit contrarian. I don't think they'll be low owned, but play the line two and the power play two guys. Play like Letang, Riley Smith, Evgeny Malkin, and they could score through those guys. I'm just trying to figure out a way where. If I play, like, to me, I wouldn't play Crosby at 8K as a one-off.
No.
Like, it just feels to me that if Crosby gets there, he's getting there with, like, 3 assists and a goal, and all these other guys that he's assisting to are going to be chalky, so why not play the 8K Crosby with the other chalky?
You gotta bring the other guys along with him, too.
Right. So yeah. I'm trying to think of the opposite scenario of what Penguins... would you prioritize playing even as a one-off without Crosby? Because some of these builds, maybe if I want to play a 9K player, I can't play Crosby. Or if I want to build a more medium mid-range build, I may end up playing Forsberg over Crosby. So I just want to know how important is Crosby in your Penguins lineups, and can you get away with just not playing him, even with playing three or four Penguins in your line.
I think you could definitely get away from playing him. I think that you could go Carlson, Raquel, maybe Pustinen, you know, something like that, like a contrarian PP1 stack, and hope that Crosby gets like two assists and three shots. And that's, you know, whatever that is, you know, 14.5 DraftKings points, which, you know, that's not going to be enough at 8K. You know, still a good game, still a good real life game, still producing for his team, but not good enough to win you a GPP tournament. So I'm fine with you know, fading Crosby. And then you brought up a guy like Forsberg, who is right around that same price tag, who I would much rather play Forsberg against Montreal just because of his, like, I think he has a better shot floor than Crosby. Same thing with Roman Josi. Like, Nashville's going to get some ownership today. Not only are they the hottest team in the NHL, they get a unbelievable matchup at home against Montreal, who's got a horrible penalty kill. So I would rather play Forsberg. I would rather play Josi over Crosby. So there are guys like right around him that I would much rather play. And like you said, though, that doesn't mean that we need to fade Pittsburgh, but it doesn't mean that we have to play Crosby.
The thing about the Predators that I like more than the two other chalky teams on the slate, like Pittsburgh and Dallas, is that they've condensed their lines now that, I mean, pretty much, I mean, I take a look at Nashville and I go, it's Forsberg, it's Nyquist, it's O'Reilly, it's Josi, and maybe you could throw in a Tommy Novak or something, a cheap guy over there, power play time. Maybe you could throw in a Ryan McDonagh, something like that, cheap defenseman. But do I really need to be, am I playing Nashville too? I mean, these guys get like power play two time, but you have to think that the Predators put up 5+ goals. Like most of the production's coming through like the main guys on line one and Josi. Yep. And to me on this slate, I actually think my priorities is paying up for defender. You know how big I am, especially in small field contest, in getting as many points as defender as possible. But I mean, between Josi and Carlson, I feel like it's possible to get like 40+ points combined at defense. And like, where do you find that? Like, if you end up, let's say, playing a lineup when you're playing Forsberg, Crosby, Hughes, something, you know, you're paying up for wingers and center and centers, and you're trying to fit in like some $3,600, $3,200 defender. There's so many outcomes where those cheap defenders just get 3 points, right? If they don't get on the score sheet or anything, they're getting 7 points, something. I almost feel like I'm going to start my lineups with Josi and Carlson. Like, I'm playing six lineups today. It's quite possible that I may just rotate. Like, maybe Letang also.
I was just going to say, if you're playing six lineups, you should definitely have one at least of Letang. Definitely. Yeah.
But the thing is that if I'm building those types of lineups, like, that's where Sidney Crosby goes bye-bye. That's where, you know, even right. Forsberg at times. So I ask you the same question. The difference between Forsberg and Crosby is that Crosby hits his ceiling a lot with teammates going off because he's getting a lot of assists. Forsberg right. is more of the scorer.
Right.
If I don't play Forsberg, is it just guys like Novak or Nyquist that I'm much more likely to play? Because I would think Ryan O'Reilly is more of a Crosby type.
Yeah, I don't want to recommend Ryan O'Reilly. Like, he's a great real life hockey player, but he's not a great DFS asset. Let's put it that way.
So how would you play Ned? Could you play? Can you play a lineup? Because I think people get in this spot where do you play Forsberg and Josi together, and then you're in the spot that okay, now you can't spend really anywhere else. To me, I prioritize Josi over Forsberg only because of positional scarcity. I could find a winger that scores a goal somewhere. As long as Forsberg doesn't put up a hat trick, I'm fine. Right. But I think it's easier for Josie to get 20 plus points and Forsberg has an iceberg, you know, snowflake, than vice versa. The question is that can I still play someone like Nyquist, and can Nyquist end up with 20 plus points and Forsberg's the one with the snowflake? Or do I just avoid?
I mean, he's a one-off,
and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I would include Nyquist in a stack, right? Like, I wouldn't play Nyquist as like a one-off. I would only include him as part of like a Nashville one or Nashville power play one type stack. So, I mean, I definitely like the Roman Josi call. Like, he's probably got like one of the safest floor ceiling combos on the entire slate. So, you know, it's definitely an unbelievable matchup. He's 7,800, which I think is a fair price, but I don't think he's overpriced by any means. So, I like getting to Josi quite a bit. He's definitely going to be the top raw point projected defenseman. It's not even close really. So, I think that's fine. I don't know if I would get to like any of those Nashville 2 or Nashville 3. Like, I don't know if I would. I mean, if I wanted to full stack the Nashville power play one or really needed the value, maybe Tommy Novak, I guess. But, that might be a little bit thin.
How about the Stars? They're third up, I think, from the chalk meter, the chalkometer.
Yep.
And I'll say the same thing that I say about the Stars anytime that. I'm considering them. Good luck getting the right guys. I mean, I take a look at this and I go, if I play Miro Heskinen, Thomas Harley has the best game of his life, right? If I play Joe Pavelski, that means Jamie Benn's going to score a goal, right? If I play Rupintz, that means Wyatt Johnston or Matt Duchene is the one. Their line goes off. You have Logan Stankoven. Obviously, he's been playing well. Line three does now have at least full power play two correlation. Yep. And, Pavelski now playing solely on line one helps line one have full power play and full even strength correlation. So that makes it a little bit more appealing to me. But these are all mid-range guys. Like, you're not getting anyone like super cheap. I mean, they're all cheap. They're probably values. But to play them as a line, like you're not playing, like if you play Dallas four man, let's say you're playing Heskinen in line one, like you ain't playing Crosby, you ain't playing Forsberg in that lineup. And then you risk the fact that, Mason Marchman has two goals. I mean, like that's the thing about Dallas is that I play, especially these smaller field contests where like I don't need the guy that the 3% owned guy that gets the hat trick. Right. If Ty Dellandrea scores two goals on line two, like I'm not killed. It just the only thing that it hurts is that when I have line one and line one sitting there, Dallas scores six goals and line one has all snowflakes. It feels like to me Nashville has the most condensed production. That if Dallas is going to be as owned as the other two teams, I think it'll be a little lower. I just tend to stay away from Dallas. I'm much more inclined to play someone like Robertson, Pavelski, Ben, those guys as like one-offs for goals rather than these centers that typically rely on assists in order to hit their ceilings.
Yeah, Hintz hasn't done anything. I mean, he's been really, really bad. Just so everybody knows, though, Jamie Benn did get quite a bit of power play one time in the last game. He did get 31%. Of the power play one versus Duchene, who got 34%. So there might be a little bit of, mixing and matching in that PP1 spot. So Jamie Benn might still be getting some power play one time here. But I still don't mind that call on Dallas 3. I really like that line. They're very affordable. It's obviously the best. I mean, personally, I think it's the best matchup on the board. So, I mean, if you're playing, quite a few lineups, I would definitely get to some Dallas 3 for sure.
Okay, so outside of the, okay, these are the three chalk teams. These are the best projected teams, right? It's a 9-game slate. It's not a 12-game slate, right? So we don't have as many options. But outside of these three teams, I think if you go past these three teams, I'm not as concerned about like ownership numbers between the rest of the field. What teams stand out that you consider to be, you know, a bit off the board? Obviously, you know, obviously playing like Montreal today would be like way off the board. I'm not the type of person that like, okay, it's a 9-game slate. Let's play the biggest underdog. Let's go play the Blue Jackets. Right. But of course, in large field, do whatever you want. But what's a team outside of those chalk that you could highlight and they have a ceiling and, you know, especially in small field, these guys may be single digit owned.
I think there's a very, very clear and obvious choice. And I'm extremely curious what happens with their ownership today. And that's Edmonton. They're going into this very, very, very tough matchup against Boston. Boston's on a back-to-back after a really good win against Toronto last night. Now they got to turn around and play Edmonton the very next night. Edmonton's, you know, the best offensive team in hockey. They're quite expensive, and they're not going to get any ownership. But I mean, I think that they are the superior team. They're not going to project well. You're not going to get a lot of them in, you know, if you're building out optimals, they're not going to show up, right? So like that line with, you know, the top line of Edmonton with McDavid and Draisaitl and Hyman, it's probably one of the best lines in all of hockey, and they're not going to be owned. So
that Dane says that Boston is second in taking penalties.
Yeah. I mean, that's even even a better case for Edmonton, right? Because Edmonton has a lethal power play. So I don't think that they're going to come up with very much ownership at all. They have a sky high ceiling, and if they hit, you're going to be pretty much alone with them, I would imagine. And there's
Why do they project so poorly then?
Well, I mean, it probably has to do with their implied team total. It's 3.26. It's not that high for them. You know, it's a matchup on the road, you know, in Boston. Boston's, you know, obviously not a horrible defensive team. So, and they're expensive, right? So they're not going to project well points per dollar because they're so expensive. So, you know, that's definitely a team. Like, I'm not a large field GPP player, but if I was, that would definitely be a team that I would make sure I add to my portfolio, because just the pure ceiling that they have, and they will not come with ownership.
I'm eyeing a game and a team. There's a team on the slate that projects as good as Dallas for similar prices, and I think it's going to be half as owned.
Is it the Islanders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Islanders, I was never a big fan of playing when they mixed up their lines and people are on power play on the third line and the second line and everything. Now, I'm not saying that I necessarily want to get all the way up to Noah Dobson at 7K, but I mean, Horvat, Barzal, and Nelson are all in the sixes.
Yeah.
The Blues, I never have a problem targeting against. I don't think I'm not a big guy in DFS to play in the Islanders, but based on our stack projections page, which if you're a premium member, you could get. I sort by value, and I see, see Pittsburgh here. I see Nashville. I see Dallas. But you go down and you go like, what's after that? Horvat, Barzal, and Nelson. Islanders one. I mean, is not that dramatically different than Dallas one, but I think the ownership is going to be half. Mm-hmm. Is there a case against taking a shot on the Islanders, other than the fact that if you're paying in the mid range, like you're not getting to Crosby or Forsberg? Like, I'd be much more likely to play Horvat, Barzal, Nelson, and then play Josie in that lineup as my only like predator. and then fill out the rest from there. Maybe even maybe no one's that cheap on the Islanders anymore. Maybe can you throw in one of the cheaper defensemen? Can you a Pulock at 4,400, a Pellick at 34, something like that? Or is this not as great of a matchup as the projections would make it out to be?
I think it's an above average matchup. Again, St. Louis, second night of back to backs after a overtime win against Philadelphia, quick turnaround going to New York. They have a 3.44 total, which is, pretty good on the slate. I don't personally have that much of an issue. They were going to be the very next team I was going to talk about after Edmonton. So, as a pivot in the mid range away from like teams like Nashville or teams like Dallas, these are teams that can break this slate and are going to come at the fraction of the ownership. They're pretty good. They're pretty solid favorites in this game also. So, I have no issue with it. I have no issue. And I would say I would not write off Dobson. Like if you're making six teams and you want to get to an Islander stack, I wouldn't write off Dobson. I think he's an interesting pivot because anyone who's paying 7K or above at defenseman is going to Josi. So if Dobson outscores Josi and has like a big game and Nashville kind of just fails, so to speak, that's a lot of leverage you're going to get at that defense spot. I mean, you're talking about, you want offensive defensemen. I wouldn't write off Dobson.
When first looking at the slate, I expected to have a lot of this game. It's just a byproduct of price than anything else. I don't know. I'm not a handicapper, right? I'm not a hockey expert. I don't watch the games. But I take a look at Panthers Devils and I go, how are there not 11 goals in this game? Like it just feels as if the Devils can't seem to keep anything out of the net. The Panthers shoot a lot. The Devils shoot a lot. It just feels like there's going to be a lot of shots. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on in this game. Other than the fact that obviously the Panthers, like power play one, they're all expensive. I mean, like from a point per dollar value, you'd much rather play the Penguins, the Stars, the Predators, then Barkov or Hogg and Reinhardt and Tkachuk, right? And even the defense, I mean, you got some, Montour's up to 6,200 now. Then on the Devils, they mix and match their lines, right?
They have a new coach.
Oh, they have a new coach.
Yeah, debuting this evening. This is his first game is tonight. So he shuffled up the lines. He scratched, I can't remember, Nemec. One of the defensemen.
Simon Nemec.
Personally, I know this is a really bad answer, but I don't really know what to do with this game. I do like Matthew Tkachuk as a one-off, just because I think he's going to be relatively forgotten about on this slate. I don't know about getting to like a full stack. But I think Tkachuk is an amazing pivot away from a way, way more popular Forsberg and Josi kind of right around that same price point. I don't know if I would necessarily get to like that full stack of Panthers in New Jersey. Teams tend to like come out hyper-focused when they have a new coach, but like I can't quantify that, right? You know what I mean? Teams do tend to do that. So I don't know if I want to like really build heavily into this Florida game, but I think getting to like a one-off of Tkachuk, maybe a one-off of like Sammy Reinhardt or something like that is fine.
How about have it on the Devil's side?
Yeah, that's another one. I mean, it's a tricky spot. I don't know if I want to pay $9,600 for Jack Hughes. He is projected better than Connor McDavid. Personally, I would rather play Connor McDavid for $200 more. I'd probably even rather play David Pastrnak for $100 more. But I mean, it's Jack Hughes.
Because even if like as a one, like I'm looking here. It's like Timo Meier, Tyler Toffoli is one-offs. I mean, Brad and his year are in the 7Ks, so I can understand maybe staying away from them. But Eric Halla on line two for 4,200. Dawson Mercer, I mean, he's on the third line, but power play two-time. I know, everything, there's enough people to choose from, players in this game, that it's quite possible the game is 7-4 and no one gets there. Like, everyone, no one has a flame emoji. Like, they don't have bad scores, but I don't know. I just look at this game and go, how does someone not get there in this game? Like, how does this game go 2-1? Because I just don't see that these teams playing in a way where the Panthers will put up enough shots that you know, the Devils just have no goal. I mean, like, it just they just let in everything. The Panthers are going to shoot 35 times. Like, how did they not score at least 3 or 4 times?
Yeah, I mean, I think they still have the worst save percentage in all of hockey. No, the Senators now have the worst, but Devils are the second worst in all of hockey in terms of save percentage. So, yeah. I definitely agree with what you're saying. It's tough. They're on the road. New coach for the Devils. I don't really want people to build too heavily into this game. Like I said, I think Tkachuk is a fine one-off. You can always play Jack Hughes just because he's such a massive shot floor. But the people around him at similar price points, I like better. So I don't think I'd get to Jack Hughes if I was making three lineups in the 222 or something like that. I think he would miss the cut for me.
Lastly, I wanted to talk about a value stack. So like, let's say you're going out and you're playing contrarian and you're playing, you know, Edmonton 1, which is a ridiculously expensive.
Yep.
I like targeting these games. I did it last week before I left. I said on the show was what the Sharks again. I was like, I think you should be playing a bunch of San Jose, and they went out and scored like 6 goals, and you know, Duclair did well. You know, all those guys did well. I thought they'd be way more owned.
Yeah, I had a good night that night. I know, I remember that night that you're talking about. Yeah,
right. Because remember, I pretty much only play Tuesdays and Thursdays NHL.
Right.
Two bad teams playing against each other. The Chicago Blackhawks against the Arizona Coyotes. I just take a look at the Coyotes and like no one's expecting. Like Schmaltz is 5,100. Durzi is 6,100. And everyone else is like between 3 and 5K, mid fours. The issue with the Coyotes is I feel like you could play like half the team. Like it seems like time is spread out. Like everyone is mixed and matched. Like, I feel like a guy like Jason Zucker has a high ceiling, but no floor. Then, line two has, like Bjugstad and Maselli and Kraus are, like, if they don't score a goal on that line, like, they'll all have, like, 4.5 points, which is, like, better than zero. I like to play Nick Schmaltz, but then he's playing with Kerfoot and Hayden, who don't even play on the power play on line one. What do we do? What do I do with the Coyotes?
Well, you got to make sure that Clayton Keller remains out. That's one thing. He's like a really, really, he's like their most important offensive piece, and he's day to day. So I'm not 100% that he's out for this game. So that's pretty important right there.
Right. And if he's in, I almost feel like you could almost cross off the whole team then.
Yeah. I got to check how much he is. For salary. 66. Yeah, you're probably right. You probably would.
But basically, yeah. He'll slot in. He'll be worth about 6,600. That'll probably be an efficient price, but it'll just make all these 4K guys probably should be like 800 cheaper now. Like everyone, I mean, he's just going to eat. Everyone's going to move. Like basically, I would assume that Kerfoot moves from line one down to, I don't even know, maybe line four. Right? Or Kerfoot gets out of here. Yeah, I mean, these lines may just completely be in a blender. But the whole point is that, like, guys like Maselli and Gunther and, like, they're just going to lose. Like, all these guys are going to lose minutes and move down that, Maybe no, you don't play anyone.
See, when I type in Edmonton 1 into lineup HQ, I want to fill around them with like Dallas 3. That's the team that's the stack that I like to go. I mean, you're already going to be super contrarian with Edmonton 1. And so it's like, who cares if like Dallas 3 is a somewhat popular value stack? To me, you've gotten away from so much aggregate ownership by going with Edmonton 1. It doesn't really matter. That would be the guys that I go with if I plugged in the super expensive Edmonton 1 stack. I would go Dallas 3. Like you have plenty. I think you have plenty of salary to do that. What does that give you? It's still giving you a bunch of Pitt. It's giving you the cheap
Smith and Carlson.
Yeah.
But still, it's giving you $2,500. I mean, Alex Nylander and Noel Akpala. I'm sorry, but Hyman projects so at 8,400 to play a guy that has a median value under 13. Just Dane makes great projections.
Well, you could just do a McDavid Draisaitl.
Okay, well that
you know leave Hyman off of it.
Even Bouchard is a little Nugent Hopkins or you're into Edmonton today. I typically lean on like okay what's the if I put this in right now. So, like, if I look at what our current optimal is as of whatever the projections have been updated, 113, and then I plug in, like, let's say I plug in McDavid, Hyman, and Draisaitl, and then just whatever the optimal is, like, it's 10 points lower, and I still have to play guys that are practically, like, creative players. I look, and it's like, it's not worth sacrificing the 10 points. If I take off Hyman and run it, now I'm at 108. Now I'm a little bit more up to playing, you know, play both of them together. Or even if I plug in Bouchard in this here, I'm down to 103. So that's a little bit better, right? I just don't like having like two punt guys, especially guys that like I'm not going to play Chris Tanev as a one-off. I'm sorry. Right?
He's going to be a top four defender at mid price. So I wouldn't hate it. I get what you're saying though. He's going to be popular.
Right.
Yeah. Dane just mentioned in chat, Nylander had a hat trick last night. I have to wonder
Alex how popular Nylander or William Nylander?
Alex.
Who did the Blue Jackets play last night?
Columbus. I think it was, I can't remember now. Drawing a blank. Oh, it was the Golden Knights. Played the Golden. Yeah.
So anything else of note on the slate that you'd like to point out?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered all the main pieces.
And obviously the Clayton Keller news. Any other news that you could find in the Discord? Dane posted some. Tanev wasn't in San Francisco yesterday, but they remain cautiously optimistic Tanev will be able to join the team in San Jose. So we're not even sure if he's going to play.
Right.
Okay. So we got to watch. I mean, obviously, a $2,500 defenseman that's going to be fairly popular. Look out for that. And that's the 10:30 game. That's the latest game on the slate. Well, the Vancouver LA game is there also. To me, that would be concerning if we didn't have news that he was going to play. Because if you're stuck with like one spot and he's a $2,500 defenseman and doesn't play, like where do you go? You're basically just plugging in whoever has a green check mark and just hoping you get anything, right?
Yeah. That tweet's from yesterday. So I'd imagine they'll have a further update today before there's 7 o'clock lock.
And we can get this information in the Discord, right?
Oh yeah. All day, every day.
So join us there, rotogrinders.com/discord. Get our premium projections. Dane is excellent at them. I use them for prop betting. I use our NBA projections for props and pick 'em. We have a package for that as well. So even if you're not playing NHL DFS, it's like, I don't want to play DFS, but I want to, you know, get some goal props, shot props, block props, you know, there's NBA stuff today. I mean, we have all of our premium projections. You could download if you're a premium member. You could use our props and pick 'em package. It'll show you like the top 20 in the scores and odds prop model. It'll show you like your pick 'em tool, right? For prize picks, underdog, DK pick six. I'm still waiting for that to come to Kentucky. So I can play that. But Tim, are you going to be on, are you going to be doing some NBA today as well?
Nope. No NBA for me.
You were on the morning grind though. Yeah. You were on the
podcast. I was on the morning grind with Stevie last night. Yep.
So check that out. I
had a pretty good night. I had a pretty good night in NBA last night. I made a good Kobe White call. He was only 6% owned. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how low owned he was. And I actually got it right.
Are they back to late swap on DK?
Yeah. They only did it that one night.
Okay.
They only tried that no late swap thing that one Friday night. And that was it.
It seemed like I was kind of trying to follow along on Twitter. It didn't seem like it was chaos.
Like, well, it wasn't chaos because A, nothing happened. Okay. And B, the games were between 7 and 8:30. You get what I'm saying? So it wasn't like between 7 and 10:30, right? Mm-hmm. So they kind of set themselves up for no drama, and there was no drama.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know? The starting lineup comes out, and then some guy just doesn't play for no reason.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, it's like...
right, but that didn't happen. So there was no drama. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's mostly like nothing happened that, like, even if there was late swap, most people weren't even late swapping because there was nothing really to late swap.
I remember that night. I didn't touch my team at all. I mean, my team was terrible that night, but nothing happened.
And it worked. It worked. They should bring back late swap and then the no late swap. It worked.
Right.
As we get closer to April, I mean, there's no way that teams are just going to completely tank and move around their lineups at the last minute that shenanigans ain't going to happen right.
I'm already focusing on baseball. I'm trying to learn some baseball. I don't even know who plays on whose team right now. So.
Well, you don't need to know that until the day of the slate.
I know.
Do it like me. That's what I do. Like I'll load up when opening day, I'll be on this show and I'll be looking at lineup HQ and I will seriously be looking at pitching matchups going, oh, that guy's on this team now. And then people will look at me, probably that don't realize how I play DFS or anything or bet,
right.
And go, oh my God, I can't listen to this. What does this guy know? He doesn't even know.
I was on a show with you and Dean. I think it was opening day or the second day of the season. And Dean knew who everybody played for. And you and I were like, okay, all right. Yep. That sounds good. Yep. Yep.
I mean, people give me crap for pronouncing names wrong in NHL, but at least I know who everyone plays for. Hey, truthfully, in October, when I started playing NHL DFS, I had to figure out who was on whose team for like 2 or 3 weeks. Now, at least I could go through like all the other than like, the, you know, the really cheap line three, line four guys. But like, you know, I could look through and it's like, yeah, maybe I can't pronounce Carter Verhaeghe's name.
Verhaeghe. I know Verhaeghe. It's really easy.
Verhaeghe. Right. Verhaeghe. At least I know he plays for the Panthers.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, hit that thing. The more likes we get, the more that I pronounce the names right. Let's do like we get tons of likes. I will go into Google and I'll make sure that I pronounce all the names correctly. So hit that like button, hit the subscribe button if you're new here. We got NBA Grinders Live later today, 5:00 Eastern, and that immediately crunch time comes after that big NBA slate. Sign up for RotoGrinders Premium. Clicking on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. Tomorrow, we'll be on. We'll be talking mostly NBA tomorrow, right? Then Thursday, mostly NHL. Friday, mostly MMA. And then once we start getting back into baseball, it'll be a mix, a hodgepodge of everything. We'll have Tuesdays, we'll have NHL /MLB. We'll have NBA /MLB. We'll have, obviously, we get some early slates in MLB that we may be talking about. So it's definitely stick around once the warmer spring months start coming around. And I'll be here for you every weekday, 11 o'clock Eastern, talking about all things you're thinking about. Daily fantasy, props, and pick 'em on Roto Grinders today.